Should the global fight against future plagues take on military proportions? I'm David Brancaccio. First, as the Omicron variant of coronavirus spreads, President Biden is asking businesses to move forward, to use his word, voluntarily with his administration's vaccine and testing rules that a federal appeals court halted last month. Those were the ones requiring businesses with 100 or more employees to be sure everyone's vaccinated or, for the unvaccinated, submit negative tests every week. Marketplace's Lily Jamali reports on employers and COVID boosters.
Pretty much all of the 170-plus workers at Salvatore's Tomato Pies in Madison, Wisconsin, are vaccinated against COVID-19, according to CEO Patrick DePula. He says now it's all about getting workers their boosters.
So when employees sign in, they go through kind of a health check, and then there's also a reminder, did you schedule your booster shot?
DePula is offering time off for workers who need to recover and paying them for it. He's been asking workers to get vaccinated or regularly tested for COVID since June. Only two employees quit in response.
It's a matter of employee safety. It's a matter of the public safety.
60% of employers surveyed by the advocacy group Small Business for America's Future said the vaccine is key to a full economic recovery. Rhett Buttle is a senior advisor.
People are turning to their employers for critical information. We see the doubling down of that now with the booster strategy as well.
There may be more urgency now as the vaccine's effectiveness against the new variant remains unclear. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
One of the scientists behind the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine is saying the world needs to think about fighting future deadly viruses the way we think about funding the military. Her lecture today is focused on the need to preserve the knowledge that we've gained in the past 2 years fighting the pandemic. Fergus Walsh is with our partners at the BBC.
Professor Sarah Gilbert said the scientists who led the global fight against COVID should not be allowed to fade back into underfunded obscurity at the end of this pandemic. She warned that the next virus that emerges to threaten our lives could be both more contagious and deadly than coronavirus, adding it was vital to supply global funding for pandemic preparedness.
Just as we invest in armed forces and intelligence and diplomacy to defend against wars, we must invest in people, research, manufacturing, and institutions to defend against pandemics.
Professor Gilbert said the rapid progress seen in delivering vaccines and medicines during the pandemic should become the norm, adding there was no reason why a universal flu vaccine could not be developed in order to wipe out the threat from influenza, a disease that causes pandemics several times a century.
That's Fergus Walsh at the BBC. Let's do the numbers. U.S. stock index futures are mixed. The Dow future is up 203.6%. The S&P future up 0.3%. But the NASDAQ future is down 0.4%. It is another keep an eye on Evergrande Day. That's the giant Chinese real estate company that has just barely been able to stay ahead of creditors amid more than $300 billion of debt. While Chinese authorities maintain an Evergrande collapse could be contained, some worry about systemic effects if it were to topple. Well, today, China's central bank expanded that country's money supply to make lending easier there to reassure market participants and the public that Beijing is on top of the Evergrande situation.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
Every 5 years or so, Congress updates the massive farm bill, which governs everything from agricultural subsidies, crop insurance, to food assistance programs. Tribal governments and producers say they've long been overlooked in this process, which is where the Native Farm Bill Coalition comes in. Representatives from 170 tribes and tribal organizations that's now working on priorities for the next funding round. Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports.
The disadvantages Native people face when it comes to land and food access stretch back centuries, says Lexi Holden with the Intertribal Agriculture Council and the Native Farm Bill Coalition.
Native Americans were in many cases forcibly removed from their ancestral lands and sent someplace else to be agriculturalists in an environment that they were unfamiliar with.
And since then, Holden says Native farmers and ranchers haven't had equal access to federal support. She says the goal of the Native Farm Bill Coalition is to make sure tribal governments and producers have a louder voice in future agricultural policy.
Rather than letting the federal government act now and ask for forgiveness later.
One of the coalition's priorities is increasing credit access for producers who farm on tribal land, says Erin Parker with the Indigenous Food and Agriculture Initiative. She says many of those farmers don't own property in a way that shows up as an asset on a balance sheet for loan applications.
Traditional lending institutions don't really understand what's going on there and don't want to extend credit to tribal producers.
Another goal is more tribal management of USDA programs, something that U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack recently signaled support for. Parker says the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program is one tribal governments would like more control over.
You could have tribes certifying their own SNAP vendors, and I think that would be a good economic development opportunity for tribally owned food businesses.
And tribal co-management of USDA forestry programs. Leah Zeissi is with United South and Eastern Tribes. She says a tribe's forest management priority might include cutting forests for economic reasons.
It might also include making sure that the forests are being managed for culturally significant plants and for tribal access to specific resources within the forest.
The Native Farm Bill Coalition meets in Las Vegas this week to discuss priorities. The current law expires in 2023. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.